Welcome to the Middle of the Air.
Hi, this is Ken Butcher. I'm at the Novels and Novelty Bookstore, and this morning I'm going to be talking to Monica Schroeder and Shannon Hitchcock, tween authors. Okay, well, welcome, Monica and Shannon. You are billed as tween authors. I got a million questions about what that means and the details all behind that genre or segment of the market. But I want to start out by asking you about your latest book. So let's start with you, Monica. Tell us about your latest book, which I believe is Be Light Like a Bird.
Yeah, it's called Be Light Like a Bird. It came out this September, and it is for readers age 9 to 12, which is what we call the middle grade novels. And the book has a girl main character. Her name is Ren. It is a contemporary realistic fiction book. And it tells a story about how Ren, who has recently lost her father in an airplane accident, then moves with her mother all the way from Georgia to northern Michigan, where most of the book takes place, and how she learns to deal with her grief, and then she makes new friends in her new home, and also she saves a bird sanctuary from being destroyed by the expansion of a landfill. So there's an environmental theme in the book as well.
All right. And this book, when did this book come out?
Just this September.
Okay.
So, what, 2 months ago?
Excellent. Excellent. And Shannon Hitchcock, tell us about your latest book, which I believe is Ruby Lee and Me.
Ruby Lee and Me is also for middle grade readers, 8-year-olds through 12. It takes place in 1969 in rural North Carolina, so it's historical fiction.
Okay.
It has a school integration subplot.
Okay.
So the book takes place during the first year that the school system in Shady Creek, North Carolina, is going to become integrated. And there are two girls, Sarah Beth and Ruby Lee. One is white, one is African American. And they've always been best friends, but on the grandmother's farm. Never out in public. They've never gone to school together. They've never gone to church together. And now they have to confront what it's like to be friends when everybody else's opinion counts.
And this is based on something, a real life experience?
Yes, it is. I actually started first grade in 1967, which was the first year that the school system in my hometown became integrated. And our school's first African-American teacher taught me to read.
Okay.
And the book is dedicated to her.
Okay. Interesting, interesting. And where did you grow up exactly?
I grew up in East Bend, North Carolina.
East Bend.
30 miles west of Winston-Salem.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, Monica, let's jump back to your latest book here, Be Light Like a Bird. I was surprised when I saw it took place in northern Michigan. Do you have experience in northern Michigan? Or did that just seem like a wild and exotic place to send your...
Yeah, it is. It was very wild and exotic. What you probably hear, the accent I have is a German accent.
Oh, that's not a northern Michigan accent.
No, no, no. Okay. I grew up in Germany, and then my husband is from Michigan, and so we lived and worked overseas. We were teachers in American schools.
You lived a lot of interesting places.
Yeah, in all
website.
Kinds of countries. We started out in Egypt together, and then we moved to Chile in South America.
Wow.
And then we lived in Oman, which is a beautiful country between Yemen and Saudi Arabia and the Gulf region. And then we spent 8 years in India, and then we moved from India to Madison County, North Carolina.
Okay.
Well, that's a story all by itself. But back to Michigan. Well, we inherited a cabin that my father-in-law built, and then for a long time we spent parts of our summers there every time we came to the States. And when he passed, we inherited it, and we went there to, take some things out that we didn't want and paint and such. And my husband put all the stuff in the back of his car, and then he said, now we're going to take it to the landfill. And I grew up in Germany, as I said, where we recycle most of our garbage. And what we don't recycle, we incinerate and use it to create energy.
Uh-huh.
And so now I was driven to a place that was a big hole.
Right.
In the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And people were throwing their stuff, unwanted stuff in there. I remember seeing a man who had like a broken vacuum cleaner he was uh-huh. throwing in there and a piece of a carpet. And so we put our stuff over, my husband did, and I was just basically standing there at all. Because I felt like, my God, this is like a cemetery for stuff. It's
right,
like America
right.
is so vast
yes,
they can
yes.
actually waste part of their, landscape for making a hole and just throwing stuff in, which I
right.
found really, it took me a while to process just the vastness of it.
Right.
And,
especially Upper Michigan.
Yeah, and then when I read a little bit more about the community there, I learned that there was a group of people who had tried to prevent the expansion of this landfill because there was a, like an area where birds were nesting, and that became then one of the seed ideas that I wanted uh-huh. to have a child in the story trying to, work against the landfill. And the whole theme of burying something actually then ended up weaving through the book.
Okay, interesting. That's great to listen to where some of these stories came from. So I have some questions about, I've never written for the tween ages myself. And I was a little bit surprised when I saw the books. You know, at first I thought it's for young people. It's going to be this light, fluffy kind of stuff. And you guys are dealing with some kind of dark subjects in some cases. Her father dies. I was looking at some of your other books, Monica. Dog in the Wood took place in Nazi Germany. How do you pick the subjects for your books?
Well, in the case of school integration, what happened was I had lived it, so I was interested in it. But more than that, I was visiting my mother in my hometown, and she mentioned that Mrs. Porter, who was the teacher who taught me to read, was in poor health, and that her husband had recently died. And I wanted to go pay her a visit.
Mm-hmm.
It just struck me that I'd never said thank you, that she'd made a big impact on my life, and I'd never really told her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called, and I went for a visit, and we had a wonderful afternoon talking about school integration. And I went home and wrote a picture book about it. I thought it would be an illustrated book about a little girl who started first grade and had the school's first African-American teacher, because that was my own experience.
Right.
But I took that picture book manuscript to a writer's conference, and I met with Andrea Davis Pinckney, who later became my editor. And what she said to me is, I really would rather this were a middle grade novel.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a subject that requires a deeper treatment. And so she charged me with going home and seeing if I could turn that 550-word picture book into a middle grade novel.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I worked to expand it, I thought, well, school integration wouldn't be this girl's entire life. She would have a whole life. And so I started building in her relationship with her family, and particularly her grandparents, because that was such a big part of my growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then school integration became the subplot, or it became a part of her
okay.
life.
Okay. All right. And what about you, Monica? How do you, I guess what I'm getting at is, what subjects are appropriate for that age group? And it might surprise people how deep some of these things are. I think they're
yeah.
probably ready for more than we sometimes give them credit for.
Yeah, I think it has really changed, particularly in the last years. Now I think we have novels with transgender issues, even for middle graders.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have homosexual relationships or parents.
Heroin addiction?
Heroin addiction. That was mm-hmm. actually a controversial book that some people rejected it because they thought that was too much to
right.
talk about, even though that's a reality
right,
that kids
right.
face. And but I think the authors don't, you know, like Shannon said, you're not sitting at home thinking, how can I find like this really troublesome subject and then I'm going to write a book about it. I think the in most cases the stories, they come to us from our own experience, and they connect with other things that we see and observe and that interest us, because you have to, before you make the commitment to write a story for a long time, you need to be really committed yourself. You have to, you know, think about, do I want to do this for that long that it takes?
Right, and, right.
But in terms of my topics, I mean, I lived in India for a long time, so I wrote a book about a street child in India, and my father is from East Germany, and my first novel is about his experience at the end of World War II when the Russians came to his village.
Right.
And so I basically...
Must have been a terrifying time for
him. Yeah, it was, and it was always his... The seed story there was that my father's mother, my grandmother, was taken by the Russians at gunpoint shortly after the war was over, and then my father didn't see her for 4 years because she was put into what used to be a concentration camp, what the Soviets then used as prison camps. And so that, I mean, the true story of my dad was so horrible that I actually had to fictionalize it quite a bit.
Right,
in the
right.
author's note, I refer to what really happened. And so, but I do think war, poverty, and death of people we love are certainly topics and problems that affect young kids as
sure.
much as adults, and I think it's good that they find themselves mirrored in stories.
And I guess that's part of the, you know, the whole coming of age experience that we all go through. We have to determine, you know, we have to come to grips with those things. Well, you already kind of answered this question, Shannon. One question I had was, for writers for this age group, do you sit down and say, I'm writing for that age group? Or do you have a story and it turns out to be that age group? Now, you already explained a little bit, Shannon,
right.
how yours came about. You originally intended for a younger age group.
I did.
And then we were advised, hey, this fits more in that category. What about you, Monica? Are you targeting that age group, or does it sort of organically end up being for that age group?
Well, I think in the case of the last book, it was certainly, I knew it was going to be a 12-year-old girl, and so I knew it was going to be about her. But I'm also working on a book that is set in 1932 or 1933 Germany, just as the Nazis take power. And here I'm finding, because the protagonist is older and because it's now starting to become, you know, there's seedy nightclubs and there's kind of strange and more violence and more. And all of a sudden, I'm realizing this may be for an older audience. And I actually struggle because I find middle grade very attractive. And I think when you write for older kids or young adults, then, for example, the expectation as what kind of a romance you build in there
right.
is, of course, different. You know,
right,
then
right.
you have to deal with love stories and such, and in middle grade it usually is more innocent, the relationships between boy and girls.
Right, right. But they're there.
Yeah. Like it's, I mean, in my case this is also Be Light Like a Bird is a friendship between a boy and a girl. And I mean all my other books have boy main characters, so this was my first one with a girl, so I learned something.
Have you ever, speaking of appropriateness, have you ever had a publisher say, Oh, wait a minute. No, you can't go there. You can't. Have they ever asked you to back off of something?
Yes. This was my first book, The Ballad of Jesse Pearl. And Monica and I actually shared an editor at one point, and it was Stephen Roxburgh was my editor for that book. And he thought I had too much romance. And he wanted me to back off of it a little bit because he thought the book could appeal to a wider age range, so younger kids could read it.
I see.
if the romance were toned down just a little bit.
Okay.
The girl in that book is 14.
Okay.
And by the end of the book, she's 16.
Uh-huh.
So the romance was more so than what you would have in a book for 8 to 12-year-olds. But he felt like there was nothing in it that an 8 to 12-year-old couldn't read if I just backed off of it a little bit.
I see.
And so that book, actually, he marketed 7th through 12th grade.
Okay.
But I did back off of some of the sexual feelings between the main characters based on his input.
Okay. So, Monica, I know from reading your bio, you've been a teacher, a librarian, so you spent a lot of time around this age. Is that your favorite age group to teach?
Well, I taught grade 4 for 9 or 10 years, so I like fourth graders, even
so
though
I
end up writing for older kids, actually.
Right,
it's
right.
It turns out that the books now are even this one again, which I was hoping would even be a little bit upper elementary, but they're pegging it now again for middle school.
Uh-huh.
I'm working on another book, not the Nazi time book, but we're really trying something lighter, something more fun. And because when I visit schools, I've had kids ask me, "Are you ever going to write something funny?" and so I can now say I'm working on it. But I can see, and I guess because we all bring ourselves to the books, I can see that my mind often goes into directions of, you know, class differences, political
right,
differences,
right.
I tell myself, don't go there. This is supposed to be just funny, you know. So.
But you can't also fight the inner voice, you know.
You gotta let the inner voice
run where it wants to run sometimes. So that could be a conflict. Shannon, do you spend a lot of time around kids of that age group?
I can't say that I spend a lot of time around kids of that age group. I spend a fair amount because I do free Skype visits and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But my own child is 23 now.
Okay.
So I've sort of outgrown, or he's outgrown my books.
Uh-huh.
But I do have a niece and nephew that are 9 and 10.
Okay. Now, so you've obviously both had a lot of interaction with kids that have read your books. Are they picking up what you're putting down, or do you ever get surprised with a question or an interpretation that they've come up with? Like, wow, I didn't mean them to interpret it that way.
I found that they're very smart.
Yeah.
Way more than we give them credit for.
Right.
And that they do pick up on it. And not only do they pick up on it, but they are not at all shy about voicing it.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can write things that make adults uncomfortable, and the kids will go right for it.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
They are not at all shy about telling you what they think.
And Monica, they want you to be more funny, but what else do they want you to do?
Well, but you ask about the reactions. Like my book, Saraswati's Way, which is set in India, it was on this North Carolina Battle of the Books list, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to visit with a lot of classes and groups who were participating in this competition. This is a little book competition they do in middle schools in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And so, obviously, for a lot of kids, this was very, very far and exotic story.
Sure, sure.
You know, and when I talk about it, I tell them that that was one of my concerns. How do I make a story that's set, you know, so far away in a very different life, approachable for them? And one thing is, of course, the common theme, which is this was a book about a boy who wanted a better education and wanted to change his life. And so that kind of message of, for lack of a better word, that, you know, we all have to strive for good education, because that's true here as anywhere else. If you don't have that, you're not going very far. I mean, that's true
right.
in India, it's true in
right.
North Carolina.
Right.
But what you said about if kids, and like Shannon said, what kids are picking up in the book about that's set in India, there's a scene where the boy takes a train on the way to New Delhi, and he has no money, he's basically without a ticket. And so he meets a man who has a very curious job of changing the tape of music that plays in the first class train wagons in Indian trains.
Right.
It's a very strange job, but it's true. And this man is very creepy, and he tries to convince him to come with him. And there's a scene where the man touches the boy on the lower back,
mm-hmm.
and that's as far as it goes. But I have several kids come up to me and said, there's almost child abuse in your book. And I felt that was it's interesting how this wasn't meant to be. I mean, it doesn't go any further, but it's very obvious this is a situation where the stranger is trying to lurk on the child, and the child makes the right decision of mm-hmm. not going there. And so kids have, you know, picked that up, and because that's what you were asking.
Yeah, interesting. So there's an element, I guess, probably for any age group, including adults, when you're writing a book, presumably, up front, the top priority is you're going to tell an interesting story. You're going to be a storyteller and really draw people in. But there's also an element of you're teaching, or you're trying to get some points across. So for that age group, in your own writing, are you intentionally doing that, or does it more sort of just surface organically? Your own values and your own ideas are just bubbling up, and you don't have to intend to say, I'm going to teach about integration, what's right and wrong? Or is it just, this is my own experience, and the ideas just kind of bubble up in there?
I don't think anybody likes to be lectured to.
Right.
I think when kids read a book, they first want to be entertained.
Yeah.
So I think you have to tell an...
I think we all do.
Yes. So I think you first have to tell an entertaining story. And as you revise, then things will bubble up. You know.
Right, right.
But I think, first of all, it has to serve the story.
Mm-hmm.
That if you set out to teach kids a lesson, they're going to see right through it.
Right.
And not pick up the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly think there are things, my own values made their way into the book about how I feel about racism.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the environment in North Carolina in the 60s and just some of the ugliness, they certainly made their way into the book. But I try not to make value judgments. I let the kids come to that
sure.
on their own.
Uh-huh. What about you, Monica?
Well, I agree. You can't, you know, setting out and saying, okay, this is a lesson, or it's maybe not writing a fable that has a fixed lesson like that. But I do consider, and increasingly so, I probably didn't so much when I started out, but now I consider theme.
Okay.
So while I write, and I think that's probably the same for adults, that theme might percolate to the surface after you wrote and you realize, oh, this is what connects and these are the motives or theme, whatever you want to call it, that braids through the story. But I do consider it even in the planning or in the plotting, so to speak. Like the Be Light Like a Bird is a book about forgiveness in many
uh-huh.
ways. It's also about, like I said, burying. What do we do with memories, feelings that we don't know what to do with, and how do people apart, you know, and find closure? And so those are themes that developed over the time of writing the book. And as I'm writing another one now, I do consider, and I think it's often connected to the quest or the desire of the main character. Like,
right.
What does he or she want? And so it just comes up. Like I tell kids, my first book is about fear. My second one is about disillusionment. The third one is about patience. And now it's one about forgiveness.
Very good, very good. Well, I'm looking at the clock here, and we need to let you go down and work with Valerie here. But before I let you go, I want you, first you, Shannon, tell people how your fans can follow your work. Is your website the best vehicle for that?
Yes, it's shannonhitchcock.com.
Okay.
That's the absolute best way, and I do answer anybody who, you know, leaves a comment.
Okay, great. And Monica?
Yeah, same here. I also have a website, Monica Schroeder, Monica with a K.
Monica with a K. I found that out, too.
And, and so you can find me there. There's contact information, too.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and best of luck with your books, future and present.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for listening, and thanks again to Shannon Hitchcock and Monica Schroeder, and to the Novels and Novelty Bookstore. For more episodes or to subscribe to our podcast, visit our website at themiddleoftheair.com.